righty. If you have your Bibles, let's open back to Acts 3 this morning. And we're going to do a little review. You know, just because last week we decided to do a kind of a healing and service, and it was really a good outpouring, and those that came, we had a chance to pray with you. It was fun. I'm not done with the series, so just to get you heads up, we were talking in our little staff meeting this week. I said, I'm going to keep going because I just feel like we just need to do this. So if you are joining us for the first time or if you've been here for all 4 weeks, this week five is just simply this. We're going to continue to talk about the power that's in the name of Jesus. We as a nation, and you know, last night we were up north last night, like on the north side of Indianapolis, and we were having some dinner up there. And this is a really cool story. There's a good ending to it, okay? And we're sitting there, and we're talking about Fox News and CNN, which, of course, is one of my favorite topics. Not much. And then the topic started coming up about politics, and it got a little nerve-wracking because we did not realize that one of the guys there was used to work for the Democrat Party. The other one used to work for the Republican Party, and it was a lot of fun. As we watched this interaction going on, it was very comical. You know what was really cool afterwards, as much as they disagreed very vehemently? Is I watched those two guys afterwards hug each other and say, man, I love you, brother. Two Christian men who are able to talk about their differences. And I thought, because we thought one were going to leave. We actually thought, okay, hey, you know, the salmon was on the grill and so was the other fish. We're like, man, don't, one of you is cooking, one of you is not. Let's make sure the one leaving is the one's not cooking. I want the fish still, you know. I'm kind of selfish. That salmon looked really good, you know. I sat there and right over by the grill, the two of them walked together, gave each other a big hug and said, isn't it great that we're united because of Christ? They disagreed about politics. They did. It was pretty wild. Then we went inside and the wives started yelling at them, by the way, for doing that. Like, how dare you do that? But you know what was funny? I talked to the one that was the great guy, was a missionary. And as I was talking to him, his heart for God was so awesome. And he didn't disagree with me about a lot of the policies, but some things they did and some things. But you know, we can find unity because of the name of Jesus. We don't have to fight and argue. I mean, yes, we all have our political views. And I was surprised because the man is pro-life, pro everything I believe. He believes in the scriptures. But we disagree about some other things, obviously. But the bottom line is we can come together, but it's only by the name of Jesus. We talked about this. I'm going to do a little summary. All heaven and earth derive its name because that's the name that we've been given, the name of Jesus. We're a part of that family now. We have been adopted into the family of Jesus. And so we are recognized by that. And I was thinking about this the other day, that in Genesis 1, it says, let us create man in our image, the triune God coming out, talking about it's the kind of like the family thing, our name. When I go back and introduce my family, we are the Varnell family. There's more than one of us, but we represent something greater. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We represent the name. So when my brother, who's over here, don't be confused with the thing. Some people think we're like twins, and we do wear the same colors a lot too. By the way, I noticed when we both. My wife's like, you all wear blue all the time. Like it's my color I like, I guess. But you know, don't be confused. But we're still, you know, we still have the same father. So we're different families now, but our father is the same one. And so that's the body of Christ to a whole. We have different families coming out, but we have one father. One God, one King, and we're united. Whether they're Baptist, whether they're Pentecostal, whether they're Presbyterian, we are one body named with the name of Jesus that we are ambassadors for. And my hope and my prayer is that a nation that's so divided can actually come together in the name of Jesus and unite again. Jesus is the one who brings unity, not division. Kenny did such a good job talking about love. He brings love. There's no hate in him. God hates sin, but he loves the person so much. It's like, okay, listen, I hate what you're doing. You know what? Because I love you so much, I'm going to send my son for you. God never backs out and quits. Just because you're doing something that he always has a way for you to get loved again. A provision for you to come back to him, and it's Jesus. And I just think sometimes the church, we get so crazy about all your things, and it's the name of Jesus that we stand in honor day. So with that being said, I really don't want to do a lot of review because I could do here a lot, but I am going to do Acts 3, and we're going to review this because this to me was the favorite part, and I noticed a lot of new faces, and it was funny this morning, I thought, I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to. Acts chapter 3, the first 10 verses, we're going to read them. Those that were here on week 2, you already heard this. But you can listen again. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man came that was lame from his mother's womb, was carried. And when they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked for an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such things I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is a miracle. This is a man who's been here for years, being carried here for years. Here's a problem we have. When we pray for people for miracles, a lot of times we think, well, it's going to be progressive, right? Well, you know, it's not all the time that we're going to pray for somebody. And this says immediately the bones and everything received its strength. This is where we were encouraging. I'm not done. Let's keep reading. Man, I want to. Because he's not done yet. After he received strength, his faith was so at a level. Look what he did. And he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all that saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was the one that sat there at the beautiful gate at the temple, were filled with wonder and amazement at which it happened to him. And then we're going to go back, and he addresses the people. But let me jump down to verse 16, because it's the same context. And I've already preached this a couple weeks ago, so I don't want to go through it all too much. I do, actually. And verse 16, and in his name, through faith in the name, has made this man strong. And whom you see and know, yes, the faith which is in him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let me stop and summarize. What healed the man? Jesus or his faith? Yes. Yes. The name of Jesus is the name that, when, as soon as they called on the name, healing was present. Just as soon as you call the name, deliverance is present. As soon as you call the name, love is present. But it's by faith that we activate that. We are never going to go and succeed and walk in victory and wholeness if we don't activate it by faith. Faith in the name. It's the name that brings healing. It's the name that brings power. It's the name that brings deliverance. It's the name of Jesus that's above every other name. Every knee will bow. Cancer has to bow. Hatred, division, racism has to bow at the name of Jesus. But we've got to have faith to walk in the name and to receive the blessing and the promises of the name, the most powerful name above every name. That's just review. Okay, let's keep going. You all got that? The name of Jesus is what heals the man. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it says immediately he received the strength. And I tell this story so many times, I cannot believe I say it so many times, but it's one of my favorites. If you ever read the testimony of Kenneth Hagin, one of the greatest stories is when he finally got the revelation, laying there in that bed for years, sick and never expecting to walk and probably die soon. And he finally got a revelation from the Lord, healthy people don't lay in bed all day. And he says he put his feet, I've shared this so many times, you're probably getting tired of hearing it. That's okay, I love hearing it. It's just that repetition. He put I put my leg on the floor and it felt like a log. At that point, most of us quit. True? We prayed. I guess God didn't answer my prayer. Let's just stand in faith for a while longer. No, why don't you take that? And he said, so I did. I began to speak to that leg. And I'd be feeling it, but then I took my other leg. And at this point, let me tell you, I've not read an account that contradicts this. Nowhere did it say, oh, I got feeling in my leg and I jumped out there. He said, no, both my feet were on the ground and I just decided to put weight on them. And as soon as he put weight on those legs, guess what happened? The manifestation of the power of the name of Jesus brought healing to his body. Love came. Healer came and manifested his presence inside this body. But it wasn't until faith responded to the love and the name of Jesus that it was activated inside of us. You see this? It's not one or the other. People go, oh, you're a word of faith guy. I preached it last week. Paul said the word of faith, which I preach. Paul preached it. We're all word of faith people. The word with faith. But you know what we are? We're also, never forget, the source of our faith is the name of Jesus. The object of the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews, is Jesus. Jesus, you can't separate these two. You can walk in faith and believe, but you know, it's the name of Jesus that gives us the power to do these things. We can't separate them. Okay, so we talked about greater things shall you do in my name. Then we start talking about this, and this is really good. If you go ahead, I know I gave you a lot of verses from the last few weeks. Proverbs 18:10, then we're going to go to Psalms 91 from there if you can. Thank you. Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower which we can run. The righteous run into it and are safe. So as we put this up there, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. His name is a strong tower. We can run into his name. When you need safety, what do? You run into his name. I tell you, you go into some things and I wasn't going to go there. I'm going to stop. I don't care what darkness there's around you. There's nothing greater than the name of Jesus. No matter where you're running away, you can always run to the arms of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. One translation says, the righteous run into it and are lifted up. Put aloft. That's what that means. It means when you feel like you're sinking, when you feel like you're drowning, when you feel like the weight and the depression. Let me stop. I'm going to go here. Depression, sadness, and sorrow rule so many lives today that it's a dangerous thing to talk about because people don't like this, because you want to talk about medication, no medication. Forget the argument. Here's what it is. Depression is all-encompassing disease that the enemy uses and preys upon people who have had bad things happen in their life. And they get trapped in that moment and they can't get out. And in my life, I've encountered short service where I just feel like, man, am I ever going to get through this? Another bad report comes and it gets paralyzing. And this weight that gets upon you, I want to let you know, I feel for you. And a lot of times we go past it really quickly and say, you just stop taking that medication. And hold on. We got to start believing that the name of Jesus has more power than the name depression. It's in sorrow and sickness. Because according to Hebrews, probably somewhere in there too. But according to Isaiah 53, he carried those things away. The problem is sometimes it's hard to give them to him because we're holding on to it. We identify ourselves so much in that area. When you've lived this way for so many years, it's hard to unprogram your thoughts. And so today, I want you to know, if you're one person struggling with this area, I'm not saying this with any just quick fix. I'm saying this. If you would just trust that the name of Jesus is your deliverer, today he can deliver you from that spirit and that hold of depression on your life. And I'm believing that for you. I don't know why I'm going there this morning. I told you sometimes I just get that feeling. And some this morning, matter of fact, if you don't mind, let's just pray for a minute. We'll just put this. Father, we thank you that in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you just get your faith in here this morning with me? In the name of Jesus, we take authority over all depression, in the name of Jesus. If you're in this, I'm not going to make a display of you right now, I promise. But if that's you right now, I want you just to grab a hold of this and declare this over your life. In the name of Jesus, depression and its power is broken over my life. I choose to live by faith. I restore hope in Jesus' name. And where there's hopeless situations, I release my faith right now, and I speak to that area of darkness in my life, and I command light to come. I command love to manifest and fear to dissipate in Jesus' name. Where we have been gripped, we release it now in Jesus' name. Depression, fear, anxiety, you have no right. I have the name of Jesus that has the right in my body. And we believe this today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's go. All right, let's keep going. Where am I at? The righteous run into it are safe. Next one, Psalms 91. We're not done. You thought I lost my place. Oh, I did. I won't lie. Psalms 91, the prayer that my wife, I think, prays every day. But it's a prayer that is a prayer. Let's just read this. Would y'all just let's just read this. And how many of y'all read this in the last couple months? Anybody? Some of you are like her. You're like, I got to read this thing. This is one of the greatest. Man, this is great. So I'll wait a minute. Okay, we'll just do it like this. Psalms 91. You're going to have your Bible. This one right here. He that dwelleth in the secret. Oh, look at that. I say it, he does it up. You are so good, man. He was waiting until I got that first word out. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When you abide and dwell in the secret place, you're covered by the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall, will, and has deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that are in the darkness, nor destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. You are covered because you're under the name, under the covering of the name of the Father. And under that covering, they cannot penetrate that shield that you're under. Only, verse 8, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, your dwelling place. There shall be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh you to your dwelling. I'm going to take that from my house, if you don't mind. You know, it's not just you, but your house. You okay with this? Not only are you covered, but go ahead and cover that house of yours too, with the shadow of the Almighty. For verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Not only his wing, we get angels. Do you think God, Kenny, I think what you're saying about his love, do you not see his love for you in this? Oh, man. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in thy hands, and lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall not trample under the feet. Shall trample under the feet, excuse me. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him thy salvation. Hallelujah. I really can't preach that any better. So we're just going to let you simmer on that and let you know that we have a God who loves us so much. He puts us under his wing and he protects us and our families. And with long life, he'll satisfy us with. And when we get out of the wing that you can't, there's angels around it too. He is going to cover you. When we understand that we have a God that loves you this much, that he's not going to let bad things, we have to understand, if you start believing that in your heart, you won't start expecting it with your mind. I was reading this morning. Any golfers out there? I'm not. I'm a phony golfer. I'm not going to lie. I think I played once. I was reading this morning. Quote by Phil Mickelson. Anybody know Phil Mickelson is lefty? The guy that has won many tournaments, but inside the last three holes to blow it. He said this in an interview last night after his match. I don't know if you know this or not. He shot 4 straight birdies to take the lead yesterday. And then I'm not sure what happened, but then he hit a triple bogey or something like that. And he said this quote afterwards. Every single round of golf I play, I just expect I'm going to blow up. I'm paraphrasing it. I expect I'm just going to have a bad, I'm going to do this. I mean, he had the U.S. Open 1 a couple years ago and hit in the woods, made a stupid shot out of the woods, decided to hit another stupid shot, and lost the U.S. Open because of it. See, what's sad is, I read that this morning and thought, how many Christians think the same way? I don't care how good things are going, eventually something bad is going to catch up to me. Folks, I tell you, the name of it, get that mindset out of here. That is not one of God. He's to cover you. He's to protect you. He's to bring healing. He's to bring provision. He's our God. He loves you. And that mindset is what the devil's got some of you in, because what you say, well, I don't know why. It seems like I always take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Well, stop taking the steps back. It seems like I feel like I'm getting healed. And then I go, whoa, when did you start living by feelings anyways? It's either God's word is true or it's not. And so I want to encourage you that when we understand Psalms 91, it is a promise that of God's making. It's not just a prayer. It's a promise. He's speaking this over you. This is truth. It's not, well, you know, his shadows, his wings there, if you're good enough, if you do the right things. It says you need to dwell in there, and he does his part. When you dwell with him, he is going to manifest his love and goodness over you. So I encourage the church, dwell in his presence. Live that way. And the rewards are beautiful. And so this morning, we're going to talk about, I think, 6 or 7 names. And then we're going to close up today. So I should have given you scriptures. But let's start with number 1. Jehovah Jireh. Anybody know anything? Who? God our provider. Number 2. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord our healer. Jehovah Nisi. The Lord our banner. Jehovah, and I wrote this one down. I don't know why I did, because I can't pronounce it. So some of you scholars might want to help me. It's a really big word. It's Jehovah Mekadeshigacham. I made all that up, by the way. Just want you to know that is completely made up. Don't try to write that down. But it does say something about Mekadeshigacham, something like that. Okay, close enough. But it has the Lord our holiness. I wrote that down because he wants us to be holy like he is. And I thought it was too important to leave out, even though I can't pronounce it. I really look stupid. I don't mind. How about Jehovah Shalom, our peace? How about Jehovah Sedek? That's exactly what I actually said that this morning twice to go with my nose. Sidkinu. Yes. The Lord our righteousness. You smart people. And then how about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd? Let's start with a few of these. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, what does that mean? That means he is our father, he is our covering, he is our protector. He's the one, and Jesus said, by the way, I am the good shepherd. He says, he repeats himself later. Not only is our father the shepherd, but the good shepherd was Jesus. He really likes, so I want to start with this one. And I'm just going to share this with a few minutes. I don't want to go on forever. When we are in a situation in our life, when your knees, are, when you're disobeying, there is a God who does discipline his children. The shepherd disciplines the sheep. But you know what he also does? He watches over that flock so well that when one's missing, he goes and leaves the 99 for the one. We sang about that this morning. The shepherd is one who loves so much and cares so much that he's always guarding the gate that the enemy can't get in. So you are always protected in the fold. But when you leave, I got good news for you. He's not just a shepherd. He's a really good shepherd. He will go after and fight for you. And we listened to a story. I think Kenny was with me one time. And an old preacher was preaching the story about when the sheep got away and went up to the hillside and got caught. They were saying how when the sheep goes out there, they're in the place of abandonment and loss. Wolves and everything else can go. The shepherd had to risk his life just as much as the sheep risked its own. The shepherd had to go out there in the midst of it all. And when Jesus came to earth, he was tempted every which way we were, but did not fail. He encountered a taste of hell after he died because he took our sin and our punishment down there for us. Jesus tasted these things, but never partook. He was a part of it, but never succumbed to it because he was the example for us to live by. He is the best shepherd you can ever ask for. He didn't just say, you know what, I hope you guys do your best and follow my lead. No, let me lead by example. Let me go, and when the sheep does get out, I'm going to go run after him. My encouragement for you as a good shepherd today, a practical application, one for your life, no matter where you are, knowing you can always come back like the prodigal son, like the lost sheep. It's the same story Jesus was telling, same exact parable. Just one was a sheep and one was a guy. Okay? Both had to come back to the flock. So if you're not where you should be this morning, there's a shepherd who's welcoming you home. And actually, believe it or not, you're here because he ran after you and got you. sang that, that unrelenting, overwhelming, whatever, whatever, whatever. That just describes his love for us. And that's what he is for you today. You're not here by mistake. He is a shepherd who loves the sheep so much he's running after to get a hold of you. And that's who we have today. Let's try the other one. Jehovah Jireh. But before I go on, let me stop. I want to put some. Last night it was really funny. They're asking me to give an overview because there's about, what, 10 of us, 8 of us, 10 of us last night. And they're giving me an overview. What are you preaching about? And I was telling them, so I got the chance to preach my sermon last night. So all this is just review. For last night I did the review, and today I get to do the real thing. But I was sharing them about Genesis 22. Would you mind putting this up there? No, Hebrews 6:13. Go ahead. Let's do the New Testament one. Same verse. Hebrews 6:13. If you put that up there while I'm sharing this. Week one, I was giving you an overview of all the things I was going to do. And I shared this and realized I'm not done because I never finished what this verse was about. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. How do we tie that in this morning? When he swears by himself, he swears by his own character, his own nature. And when we use this name, Jehovah, which one? Jireh, that is who he is. He is not just a provider for you. He is the provider. So when you ask him to provide, you're asking him to be who he is. You're not asking him to do something that's out of his nature and out of his character. And so when I encourage you this morning, when you hear these terms and these definitions of who he is, this is not just what he does, it's his character on the line. And he says, I can't swear by nothing greater than his own character, than his own name. So if Jehovah Jireh is a name for God, which it is, that doesn't mean he provides for you. He is a provider. Therefore, God provides because of who he is, not just what he does. Do you understand the difference? God heals not just because he can, he is the healer. So therefore, when you are part of him, you are part of his healing. It's not separate from one another. So let's go. Jehovah Jireh. Some of you in the room right now, and I don't, you know, you whatever you believe about money and all that other stuff, I believe God wants to bless his children because we're his kids. And I believe he wants to prosper his children. And I also believe that God wants to provide for every single need. My God shall supply my need. According to who? His riches. In Christ Jesus. And my need could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be financial, it could be whatever. But do you believe if Jehovah Jireh is your provider, do you not believe today he can provide for you? I want you to get in faith over these things right now. Doubt and unbelief in this area has to go in your life. I've had people tell me this. Brother, I believe in, you know, that prosper, but you know what you just told me? You don't believe in it then. If you've got to put a but next to it, you don't believe in it. I don't really believe it maybe the way that some of the other preachers believe it. Maybe if that's what you're saying, that's fine. Okay, but the word of God's clear. Beloved, above all else, I wish that you would what? And be in good health as your soul prospers. He wants you to prosper in every area of your life, not just soul, spirit, body, everything. He wants you to be, because when we're living a life of prosperity, what are we doing? We're prospering others. If our spirit man is prospering, we're encouraging other people's spirit to prosper. And so if we are living a life truly walking in the blessing of God, we should be able to pass that along to people around us. That is the whole product, byproduct of living in the blessing of God. It's not just to consume it on yourself. We want to go there today. I'm tangenting. He is our provider. In this room today, some of you need to get rid of some of your misconceptions or maybe the way that you heard it taught before or whatever. Does God want to provide for every one of your needs? Yes. He is the provider by nature and by name. He is your provider. So if there is provision that is lacking in your life today, we pray this, that Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider. And so I thank you today that you will provide for this need. There should be a confidence in that prayer. There should be faith in that prayer because you're calling out his name. Next one, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Healing is the children's bread. Psalms 103, let's start there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and also me, bless his holy name, who forgives what? All my sins and heals all my diseases. Psalms 103, verses 1, 2, and 3, right there. Our God heals. It's not because he has the ability to heal. It's because he is the healer. You follow me here again? We're going the same topic. We're going to go through, by the way, I'm going to say this every time. So God doesn't just have the ability to provide, ability to heal. He is your healer. And when you get this in deep down in your spirit, you're not going to start crying out for God to do something more. You're going to begin to thank him that his manifestation of his character would be manifest in your life. It's no longer asking God to do something for you. It's thanking him for what he is to you. It's about relationship. It's about this, Jehovah Rapha. That's who you are. That's your name. Therefore, your name and your character can't be separate. And therefore, because we talked about this 2 weeks ago, I have been grafted in. Kenny preached it again this morning in his pre-service sermon. How many sermons do you preach today? You got one before service, one during the other. Okay, man, I'm not sure who preaches more here. But he's so good, though. You love his passion. I love it. I mean, I'm sitting over there going, hey, you got to keep going. I'll sit down. I don't mind. But during his pre-offering sermon, he alluded to that we're seated in him. We have been given his name. So now we're family. And so I am part of the family name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. That's who he is. Therefore, it manifested in who I am. I can receive healing by relationship of who he is to me. When we start asking for these things, you start realizing it's more than just a petition. It's that heart of receiving by faith with thanksgiving that we walked by. The next one, Jehovah Nissi. This is one that I really want to hit on today. This one is the Lord our banner. And what this really means was the Lord our victory. I will make a statement today that had a really good talk. The enemy would love to bring defeat in areas of your life. We have an enemy who hates you. And Kenny, we must just have been on the same page today. So as he was sharing this stuff earlier, too, I keep referring back to him. Everything, look at my names. But the Lord, our banner, is one who leads us to victory. If you have a lot of defeat in your life, or the devil's always beating you up, today I want you to call out to this name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner, the Lord, my victory. You follow me here? He is victory, not defeat. There are times where we have to wrestle, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against the powers of darkness to be. But when we wrestle, who wins? The Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi. He always wins. And so if you're in the middle of a battle and you're not encountering victory, then today I want to encourage you, go ahead and call upon the name of God, the Lord your banner, and start declaring and crying out the victory that's rightfully yours as one of his children. So I wanted to, this is how I pray this. The Lord, my banner. Lord, I thank you right now that you are my banner. And you cause all things that I walk through to be victorious. And so whatever situation you're going through right now, just begin to call out on the name Jehovah Nissi. The Lord, your banner. The one that sets you into victory. And you have the right to be victorious because you're a child of God. You see this good? All right, keep going. Now the one I can't pronounce, the Lord that causes us to be holy. I'm going to read you the scripture on this one because it's really good. I wrote this one down because I need a little bit more. If you could put up 1 Peter 1:16, this is one of the commands that we're given. Be holy for I am holy. This is something that's very powerful. The sanctification, the work of God making us holy, was provided for us at the cross. But you know what 1 Peter 1 tells us? We have to choose to walk this out. He's already given you the provision to be holy. What does be holy mean? Anybody? I won't open it up. I'll get you. The word holy means to be separate from. It means there's a distinction between. So when God is holy, he's far above every other thing. He's so far above. And when it says we ought to be holy, what does that mean? We ought to be that much different from the world. We ought to, not because, I read a quote this week by Bill Johnson, it was pretty funny. He said, let's stop calling, or it was Mario Merlo, excuse me. But it was one of them who said, let's stop calling holiness a religious spirit. Folks, I want you to hear that. I get around some circles, oh, you're just being religious. No, I just want to be holy. I want to live right before God. And if he tells me not to use that kind of language, oh, you're just being critical. No, I'm just being holy. But we've unfortunately branded holiness as a religious spirit for so long because, let's be honest, the church walked in a religious spirit or a critical spirit or a pharisaical mindset for so many years. We're still trying to break free from that. But unfortunately, isn't it true that a lot of churches have swung over here to unholiness? That we can't preach that it's right for a man and a woman to marry and not just live together, or man, a man, a woman. We can't preach those things anymore because, well, it's just a religious spirit. No, it's just my Bible. My Bible says this because I believe it's true. As God, in the beginning, God created male and female. He created them, male and female. Just saying. That's what my Bible says. Does it mean I hate those people? Not a bit. Not one bit. But it means I'm going to stand out. And people say, oh, that bro, you're just being old-fashioned. You're being judgmental. No, I'm being holy. I'm separating myself by what the Word of God says about my life. And therefore, I'm going to live according to that standard. Now, it doesn't give you the right to judge, criticize, or hate those people. Your sin was no better. And this is what we got to get off this high and pious mentality. Oh, yeah, because your sin was so much better than theirs are. Were you loved when you were being that way, ugly? The Bible says we are all enemies of God at one point. Let's believe for restoration for all people, not just the ones that we labeled as being unreachable. Oh, they're gay. Oh, well, that makes them so bad. No, it means that we can love them more. Why not? Let the gospel of love reach forth and love these people. Well, they're living together. Well, same. They're hating people. In God's eyes, He wants to be loving, but at the same time, we have to be holy ourselves. We have to be different than the world. We ought to be the light of the world ourselves. And we have a difference. People come to us and are drawn to the difference that you are. And God, according to this right here, according to that long word I'm not going to try to pronounce again, He is our holiness. He became the holiness of God. He lived holy. He is holy, and He's forever holy. And He says this in verse 16. Thank you. See, you know me so well, you got the verse before because normally I do that, but because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. He's a holy God, and we ought to live holy and righteous before Him. Amen? So that's part of the character of who He is. He's holy, therefore, He's given us to live a standard of holiness because that's His character. So today, if you feel, well, brother, I just don't think I can live that way, right there, call upon the name of Jehovah Mecca Dedishikim, and He is going to give you the power to live holy. Amen? By His Spirit, you can live holy. It's the Holy Spirit, matter of fact, if you haven't heard that term yet. He makes you holy. He cleans you from the inside out, not the outside in. And that's what this is. That's the part of who He is. He wants to make us live and dwell in a life of holiness. Jehovah Shalom. I've got one more after this. Then I'll stop. You know, I will tell you, I've always preached this and believed this, and I don't mean to. It's not a shameless plug for our men's group, but it is. Our men's group was going through something. Mark, 10 years ago, probably. I don't know. And Mark decided to go through John 14 in a way that all my life I've read. Those that know my life, I was born in a home with preachers and preachers and preachers. I've heard the word of God since I could, and I always heard that my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you, but my peace. I'm like, that's cool. And I've always learned as God's peace, it's so gentle and sweet. But one day Mark was talking about something in our men's group about 10 years ago at least, and he said this, my peace I give to you. And he said, it's your choice to not walk in peace. And in that moment, I was going through some trials in my life. It was like 10 years. And I was in anguish and turmoil inside of me. And I had a knot in my gut that meeting. And the Lord just spoke to me as clear as day. Did you not hear it? I gave you my peace. Why are you choosing not to walk in it? And that night, unbeknownst to Mark, way back then, I've told him since then, I think. Maybe I haven't. That I went home and I prayed. I said, Lord, I choose peace. I receive your peace in this circumstance I'm going through. And I can't tell you the feeling, the emotion, the peace that swept over that knot was gone. The anxiety left. And the situation I was so upset over just seemed to disappear because the presence of peace manifested in my life in a way that I never experienced. And so for the last 8 or 10 years, whatever, how long ago that was, I have had the ability to choose peace over anxiety, choose peace over worry, choose peace over turmoil. Because he gave us a promise. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you. His peace is everlasting. Why? Because it's his name. It's his character. It's who he is. So when you call upon the name of God, you call upon the name of peace. And when you remember how powerful peace is? Disciples, Jesus, wake up, wake up. The boat's about to capsize. We're going to drown. Do you not care if we die? Remember that? That was kind of the emotion of the disciples that day. Do you not care if we die? And Jesus walks up and goes, peace be still. What did he say? Peace? Peace is that powerful that peace can even speak to storms. In the natural, Jesus did that. And I have a place of peace because he was imperfect. He was asleep, by the way. Boat's going like this. I'm in peace, man. I'm okay. From a place of peace, he was able to speak in peace. And a lot of times when we get ourselves in peace, we find that our expressions are much more peaceful too. Especially those that live around you. They like it when you're in peace. Just let you know that. Just throw it out there. When you have peace, weird how all the peace around you seems to work too. Right? Because when you're peaceful, you become speaking peaceful. When you're disgruntled, well, we'll leave it at that. So peace is a name of God, not just something he gives you. It's who he is. So he's our healer, he's our deliverer, he's our banner, our victory, he's our holiness, he's our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, for he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have been given the righteousness of God. What does that mean? He puts you in right standing with him, not because of based on your performance, not based on who you are, but he puts you in right standing with him that no matter who or where you are, once you're born again, you are made the righteousness of God. You don't have to perform for it. You just have to receive it. He is the righteousness. He is your righteousness. Not all the works that you've done, but because of the works he did. You get to catch that? I'm going by that one quickly. And my last one is this one. I had to skip by that one quickly because it was so good, but I've preached that one so many times. If you could do me a favor, Ezekiel 48, verse 35. I'll give you a second to pull that up for me, thanks. This one is Jehovah Shammah. This is the one that says he's ever present. The meaning of this word Shammah just means the Lord is present. We have a God who never leaves us or never forsakes us, according to Hebrews. He never, ever leaves you. If you read that verse, it says this, my God will never leave me, nor he will never forsake me. It's a double negative. He literally says, I'm not just going to leave you. Never would I leave you, and never will I forsake you. We have a God who's always there with us. And there's a great book years ago that was out called by Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God. It was a book that my dad made me read. I just want you to know. And it was because it was an old book and he's an old guy. So he said, you need to read this book. So I was reading this, Practicing the Presence. And what it talked about was this, that we have to learn to practice living in the presence of God every day because he's always there. When we learn that Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is present. And Ezekiel, do we get that? The Lord, do we get Ezekiel, hold on. Did I read it wrong? 48:35. Did I read that wrong? Hey, there it is. Look at you. It was round about 18,000 measures. The name of the city from that day, the Lord is here. This was the name. So as they were walking around the city, I should have given context. See, that's why I probably shouldn't have had you pull it up. Now I want to go back into the whole text. Okay, I'll stop and just say that. That's where the origin of the word came from. The Lord is here. The Lord is manifest. In our life today, the reason I want to close with this is this. I don't care how you feel as far as, that's a really nice statement. I don't care how you feel. Let me finish this up. Let me start that a little different way. I'm about to say the exact opposite of that, by the way, but that didn't really come quite. That's a reverse. If we don't feel the presence of God, it's not about our feelings. It's about the fact that the truth is he's there. He says I'm there. I'm always going to be there. He's omnipresent. He can go through every person's life and be there for every one of us. And so the reason why I want to close with this morning is this. A lot of times we feel alone, abandoned. We've made some bad decisions along the way. Even maybe this week you made a few decisions you're not proud of. The Lord is there for you today. He's always present. Even when you were driving down the road, you know, I'll never forget, I was driving to a place, I don't know how many years ago this was, you know, and on the way there, the Lord has kind of gave me this caution, don't go there. And I ignored it because I didn't think much of it. Like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why am I thinking that? And then a friend of mine, a prophet friend of mine, calls me up. And I missed his call because I was walking in the door of this house. When I got there, it was a really bad situation. I walked into, like, I want to get out of here. So I get out finally after about 30 minutes. I'm like, I'm out of here. And when I get out of there, I get to my voicemail, and this man calls me and says, I've been praying for you. And for some reason, I feel like you're walking into a trap. Oh, good. Okay, God speaks to me, and so does a prophet. And I put it down and went, oops, missed that one. But you know who was there with me the whole time? The presence of God, protecting and covering me. Even though I missed it, God doesn't ever miss it. God never fails. I think we heard that a few times this morning. He never fails. He's there with you right now. He's present. We talk about a church. We long for the presence of God to manifest. We're talking about the manifestation of worship, but I want the manifestation of God to be in your car, in your homes, in your prayer life. When you read the word, don't you want his presence to breathe on the word? The word, this is the most powerful tool we have in the world. And I don't want to ever go to a church that doesn't preach this and make this. If it's outside of this, it better be confirmed by this. Because this is his word we know is always safe and secure. But you know, when his presence is there, his word becomes manifest to me. I want both. And the idea, I want it all. I want his presence. And remember, I won't go if your presence doesn't go with me. Moses said that, right? Moses, I'm not going to go if you don't go with me, God. That'll be the cry of our heart this morning. When we talk about the name of Jesus and the name of our God, his name is healer. His name is deliverer. His name is banner. His name is peace. His name is provider. His name is righteousness. His name is holiness. His name is ever present. His name is shepherd. His name is name. The name of our God is more powerful than any other name. And when we start calling upon that name every day, no matter what the trouble. And by the way, I only picked out about 10. There's about over, 100 and something? The names continue. I actually have a list printed out there that was 3 pages long with like two sentences per. I'm telling you, the names of God are endless because that's who he is. That's why when Moses asked him, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, who are you? I am. I can't go into all the details right now because if I did, Moses, there's going to be a long conversation because I got a lot of I ams here. But you know who I am? Just call me I am that I am. I am everything you need. I am your healer. I am there with you. I am there over there. I'm over here. And whether you make your bed in Sheol, Psalms 139, I will be there with you. When you go here, I'm with you. If you go here, I'm with you. I'm your shepherd. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I'm all that. He is the name that we can run into. He is the strong tower that keeps us safe and keeps us risen above our enemies. He seats me above my enemies because it's his name that I am placed in, and that gives me authority and power over everything below me, because I am seated in him. It's the name of Jesus. It's his name. It's his character. And when we trust in that name, it never fails. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. And last week we opened up the altars, and I want to share something with you. The Lord spoke to Kenny and I about last week. We're talking about stepping out of faith, and it's the name of Jesus that heals you. I'll stand up here so I don't, I can't see around the guy in front of me. It's the name of Jesus that heals you. But it's our faith that releases it. And some of you right now in your chair, you can receive whatever you need to from God. But sometimes you got to get out of your chair and you got to take a step forward. And that might be your step of faith. I don't know what it is, but I'll be more than glad to come in agreement with you, to stand with you, to pray with you, because we want to believe that the name of Jesus is more powerful. Whatever name, if there's a name that resounded to your heart today, that is more powerful than anything you're going through. And we start learning to live this way, we will find victory every day of our lives. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. We honor your presence. We honor your word. We honor you and your name. The name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, we can't get enough of the name. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my provider. You're my shepherd. You're a good shepherd who ran after me when no one else wanted me. We love you, Jesus. Today we call upon the name of Jesus. For whatever need there is, call upon the name. If you'd like to come as the worship team's closing us out today, we'd be more than glad to pray with you and agree with you. If not, just worship, and we're going to dismiss you in just a few minutes.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I
a citizen of heaven.
When I was brought
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, though we seem so unclear. But I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you.
Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and see that we won't be shaken. Trust in you, and we won't be shaken. We will trust in you.